Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Coach Jen from the HRN production room with the best view in the state. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 14th, 2012, episode 465. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to have you here on a Monday morning at Horses in the Morning. Well, the Olympics have ended, and the closing ceremony is officially done. And Jamie is still out. She, well, if you've forgotten or didn't listen to Friday's show, this will give you a clue to why Jamie's still out. I don't know if you can hear that, Jennifer, but... Jamie was in Vegas for the weekend, and of course that's the sound you hear every morning as you walk down, and you walk out of the rooms, and you have to go through the casino every time, so that's what you hear. Although nobody's actually pulling a lever anymore, are they?
No, it's button pushing now, no levers.
I know the levers, you know, I usually end up still going to the machines that have levers, because it's still fun to pull the lever. At least you feel like you're doing something.
You get tennis elbows and pull in the letter?
Yeah. Now, we'll hear on Wednesday how she did, whether she Blackjack was kind to her or not. Jamie and I's favorite game is Blackjack. We both agree on that. Although Jennifer will not let us go play together because she's afraid that would be disastrous for both our checkbooks. But one of these days when Jennifer's not around, Jamie and I are going to play some Blackjack.
Yeah, right.
So she'll be back on Wednesday morning. And we have a lot going on here this morning. We have a bunch of guests lined up. Hopefully, keep our fingers crossed, Catherine Massey of the Brumby Association in Australia has now figured out her time zones, and we'll be calling it in a little bit here. Last week, we were supposed to have her on the show, and she got really confused as far as the time zones. And it is quite complicated when we talk to Australia, because I think it's the middle of the night there, isn't it, Jennifer?
Well, pretty much. It's well past bedtime. Yeah. Well
yeah. Past. That's why we don't usually have a lot of live guests on from Australia and New Zealand, because it's but like midnight there or 1 o'clock or something. It's really late. But then later on coming up, too, we have Lisa Kemp, who works for us here at the Horse Radio Network as our account rep. And she is at the American Equestrian Trade Association. And she's going to check in with what's new. Now, that's the show we usually go to every year, every 6 months, actually, that we couldn't make it this year. So we sent Lisa up. And that's the one where we usually record live. It's the wholesale show where the retailers come in to see what's new in the equestrian world as far as products are concerned. So Lisa's going to give us a live report. She's been there all weekend checking out all the new stuff.
Do you think and she then, can get blown up in a vest?
I don't know. I don't know. We don't know what she's going to find because I haven't talked to her much over the weekend. She's been so busy. But she did say there's some new stuff on the floor this year, so we'll find out what's going on there. Kind of miss it. We usually enjoy going up there, and Jennifer really enjoys going up there and checking out all the new products every 6 months. But we'll be back up there in January, so right when it's cold and snowy. You know, for some reason, it always doesn't work out that we all get to go to Philadelphia, by the way. This is Philadelphia. We don't get to go to Philadelphia in the summer. We always end up going there when it's 3 feet of snow in the winter.
frankly, I would rather be there in the winter. Concrete jungle in the middle of summer. No, I'd rather put up with the snow.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
If it's in the city in Philly, it's a concrete jungle. And I would frankly rather deal with the cold weather than the 135-degree macadam everywhere.
We keep telling them they should move the winter one to Orlando. That makes more sense to us, but nobody listens to us. Yeah, nobody listens to us. Well, then Leslie Wiley is going to be here a little bit later on, also from Horse Nation, with kind of the lighter side of the Olympics as we looked back over the last 2 weeks. And we're going to bring you some stories, Olympic stories also, from the last couple of weeks, plus a new rescue story that we haven't had before. So believe it or not, we found another one that we have not covered in the last year and a half, that I thought we had covered every angle of rescue stories for horses that we could find, but apparently not. Apparently there's other new ones.
Yeah.
Well, let's do our daily whinnies, Jennifer. My daily whinny goes to the entire United States Olympic team. Congratulations, you deserve this. The United States led the medal count on all three, gold, silver, and bronze, and the total. United States had 46 gold. Next runner-up there was China. 29 silver and 29 bronze leads the way to a total of 104 medals for the United States. China was in second at 87, which I'm sure they're not very happy about. Great Britain was number three, the big surprise of the whole 2 weeks, and at 65, not too far behind China, actually. And then, I had that wrong. It looks like, Russia had 82, but not as many golds as Great Britain. Great Britain beat them in the gold. Do you remember, 20 years ago, Jennifer, it was always between the United States and Russia. China wasn't even in the picture.
Well, thanks to us importing enormous quantities of goods and services from China, they're doing much better in the Olympics now.
That's right. That's true.
We've been helping out. We do our part.
So congratulations to the entire United States Olympic team. They did terrific. And I also discovered, Jennifer, before we get to your daily whinny, some new sports that I didn't know existed over the weekend. Like cross-country riding and BMX riding. I didn't even know those two bicycle sports existed in the Olympics. Two new ones again that I had no idea about.
Yeah, crazy people on bicycles. There you go.
Exactly.
My daily whinny goes to Stephen Colbert's TV program. I have frankly never watched the show. And I probably never will, but I want to say thank you to whoever it was on his staff that decided to make fun of dressage and, miracle of miracles, crack the too serious for their own good facade of the worldwide dressage community, and thereby upping the fun factor of that discipline so far up into the stratosphere that people watching the NBC live stream on their computers clicked on dressage instead of synchronized platform diving. Thank you.
Did you see the video I put up this morning, Jennifer, on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning?
That was an OMG fall off your chair laughing.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's these two guys. They call themselves Horse. And they wear these silly horse heads, and they did a homage to the 2012 Olympic dressage finals. And it was hilarious. And the announcers were terrific, weren't they? You have to have your sound on when you listen to this.
Yeah, they were great.
It was good. It was very good. And I've seen this before where humans play the horses, but this one was particularly funny because of the announcers.
And I think this one was especially good because those were horse people that were behind them, you know, so they really get the whole sensibility. Yeah. I watched about a dozen of their videos.
I wrote in the description, this is what dressage looks like to most horse husbands. And it's funny because Colleen chiked in and said, my own horse husband showed me this yesterday. It cracked me up. So it looks like I was right. This is what dressage looks like to horse husbands. It's a funny video. You have to check it out. I also posted one over on the Stable Scoop page that was probably not so fun to watch. The tetrathlon is something that I don't know if anybody did. Anybody watch that? Did anybody see that? Did anybody see the horses in the tetrathlon? I forgot it even existed.
I saw an aerial shot of the course. You know, with that. I don't mean tetrathlon.
I mean pentathlon. It's the pentathlon I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But they have a horse riding in there. They have to do some jumping, but they don't know their horses. They only meet their horses 20 minutes ahead of time, which created a little bit of fun apparently in the jumping ring. And one of the competitors had a wild rodeo ride. Managed to stay on, I think, the full eight seconds. But decided to come off. This was a bronco riding, and he didn't even get one jump in. It was at the beginning when they rang the bell. This horse started bucking and rearing and the whole thing. Finally, you can watch the video. He finally fell off, but he apparently got back on the horse and was able to finish. Apparently, they allow that in pentathlon, but they probably count on it. The horse was fine. Rider was fine. But it was a wild ride. It was one of the wildest rides I've seen in a ring for a long time. It was pretty good. I put it over on the Stable Scoop Facebook page. Just search for Stable Scoop and you'll find it over there. So there were some fun videos that came out of the Olympics. I got to tell you, though, Michael Phelps, I realize what he did was great, but if I had seen an interview with Michael Phelps, good God, they were doing interviews every night on NBC.
Yeah.
It was never ending. I can't watch another dive. Diving seemed to be the sport that they were highlighting this year because it was on first every night. And I can honestly say I don't really need to see another dive until 4 years from now in Rio. Then I can watch like one night of diving and be happy again because I really don't need to see any more diving. It all kind of looks the same after a while.
It's kind of like Thanksgiving. Once you've had Thanksgiving dinner, no turkey for several months. Yeah.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, why don't you check the caller that's calling in there? It might be our guest. I have a story here I wanted to do. We have always talked about one of my favorite jockeys in Chantel Sutherland. She has ridden 900 winners. She's brought in about $29 million in prize money. She rides out of California mostly, and she is a Canadian jockey. And she was a model also, and she was on the show Jockey, so that's where I think everybody got to know Chantel. And she's one of the, you know, the best female jockeys. Well, she went over to England to ride in the Sugar Cup on August 11th, which is the annual jockeys competition that competes three riders compete once against each other. And she was warned, and she was part of the first all-female team, and she was warned that they have a whip rule over there, and you're only allowed to reuse the whip, I think, five times on the backstretch after you've come around the corner there. And apparently she had a little bit of a problem with that and forgot or lost count or something, because she got suspended for 3 days for violating the whip rule. Now, that means that it does not affect her ride in the Breeders' Cup on August the 26th. Of course, we'll be talking Breeders' Cup here very soon now. She will be riding in the Breeders' Cup Classic on her favorite horse, Gaimon Dude. So that does not affect her ride there. But she was suspended for 3 days, and I'm sure that there was no excuse, I don't think. I didn't see an excuse anyway. But they did warn them ahead of time, especially the American jockeys who weren't used to this, that there was a rule about that, and apparently she lost count on the backstretch.
Well, you know, an American jockey who doesn't deal with that on a regular basis, I can understand how she would have lost track of that, because I'm sure when you're flying down the racetrack, you know, it's I can understand forgetting about that, but it kind of sucks just the same.
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. But, you know, she it doesn't affect any of her racing here in the United States. She went over there for a special event. It's not like she was going to stay over there and race anyway. But.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you take our first guest?
Our first guest today, all the way from Australia, Catherine Massey is here with us. Go ahead and push the button there, Glenn. And
yep.
She's here to tell us about the Brumby. And anybody, and I'm sure Jamie's sad she's not here, anybody who watched The Man from Snowy River knows what a Brumby is because they talk about Brumbies. So we're going to get the inside scoop on the who, what, where, why, and when of Brumbies from Catherine. And welcome to the show, Catherine.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you.
And Catherine's saying good morning despite the fact that it, what time is it there right now, Catherine?
It's almost midnight, so just after 11 o'clock.
Now, this is the really funny part, folks. What are you doing right now, Catherine?
I'm having a cup of tea sitting in my pajamas.
You were feeding the horses.
Yes, I've just finished feeding them. Yes, just finished feeding them. They're all in the yard at the moment, so they've only been here for about 48 hours. So we're just trying to get them used to feed and water at the moment.
They're all settling in. So fill our listeners in, Catherine. Why are you feeding horses that have only been there for 48 hours? What have you been up to this past 5 days that you have new horses in your yard?
During the weekend, we've been down all the way to the Snowy Mountains. It took us 10 hours to get home the other night, and we had 6 wild horses, our Brumbies, that are currently being captured from Kosciuszko National Park. That's one of the largest national parks here in New South Wales, and it also contains our largest mountain peak, Mount Kosciuszko, in Australia. And each winter, the park rangers set traps for the wild horses, and they remove them from the park. And so far this winter, they've trapped 530 horses, and most of them have gone to slaughter this year. So we try to rescue as many as we can, and we packed 6 2-year-old colts into our 10-foot trailer and dragged them all the way up the freeway and through the streets of Sydney, all the way to the Hunter Valley Brumby Association Sanctuary here, where we'll be training them up and adopting them out to new homes in the coming months.
So the Brumby is a wild horse. Now, give us a little bit of the background as to wild horse, because there's wild horse as in Przewalski's horse in the steppes in Russia. There's wild horse like Mustang in North America. What exactly is a Brumby?
A Brumby is Australia's wild horse, but as horses are not native to Australia like most of the animals here. So they came over with the early settlers in the First Fleet back in 1788. They did come over on the boats and have been coming over ever since. And back in the 1830s, during the time that a combustion engine was being introduced into Australia and also men were going off to war, the horses were either turned loose or escaped during those times and formed themselves wild herds. Now, in Australia now, we actually have the largest wild horse population in the world. So we actually have more Brumbies here than what you have of Mustangs in the US. So they range in every state in Australia except for Tasmania. They roam throughout our snowy mountains all the way through to our arid deserts and everywhere in between. So we have very, very large populations here in Australia. So they're our wild horses. Although they're not native, a lot of people do find that they do have heritage value because they are direct descendants of the horses that were used in the wars and overseas, and also they shaped our land. They took our grandparents to school and worked in our fields and helped our explorers to map out every part of our country. So they've really had a very big history here in Australia.
Now, Catherine, the pictures I'm looking at of the Brumbies, they appear to be a little bit bigger than our Mustangs in stature and, you know, actually they look the wild ones I'm seeing pictures of, and I don't know where this is from, just appear to be a little healthier, a little fatter, and a little taller, a little bigger, a little stockier.
They take care of themselves very, very well here in Australia. They are able to find their good minerals, good pastures. We've had very good seasons here as well in the last few years here in Australia. So, but they certainly do have natural problems such as bushfires will take our populations, and also too with our droughts. We do have severe droughts, but so far the previous years have been very good, and the horses tend to get around average is sort of around 14.3 hands high, and very, very stocky builds with the horses that are from the mountains. They have very solid builds, and the horses in the desert sort of tend to be a little bit leaner and a little bit taller, have a lot more thoroughbred and Arab influences in them.
Okay.
So the stock was mixed up, since the feral horse, more accurately than wild from the scientific point of view, the Brumbies are really a mixture of assorted domesticated breeds, thoroughbreds, quarter horses, Arabians, and whatever else, and they've amalgamated. And then through natural selection, you end up with something that looks like a Brumby. It's kind of like when you turn loose feral dogs after several generations, they've found that certain dog characteristics, nature chooses those, and that's what you end up with, regardless of whether or not you start with a German Shepherd or a Jack Russell Terrier. 15 generations later, they all look pretty much the same. So that sort of happened a little bit with the Brumbies, in that they started out very different genotypes, and now that they've gone a number of generations down the line, they have become really physically, and when you look at them, their own distinct breed. They don't look like an Arabian. They don't look like a thoroughbred. They look like a Brumby.
Sure, that's right. With the different states tend to have different characteristics, and even different regions within those states as well, depending on the breeds of origin. Most of the breeds within here in New South Wales were actually of Clydesdale, thoroughbred, and Timor pony.
Really?
The Timor pony were used in the mines and also as pack horses as well. So we have a mixture of those influences. In South Australia, they are direct descendants of 60 Timor ponies that were imported into the country in the early 1880s. So the influences within each different region, certainly, but now each region, as the generations have gone through, you can actually tell the different horses from different regional areas. For horses are in northern New South Wales are different to the ones in the middle of New South Wales, and again different to the ones in southern New South Wales in the Alps. So yes, most definitely they do have those regional characteristics, but they do stem from, we do have ideas and also records as well that's been documented on the horses that they do stem from.
Oh, really? That's very interesting. And so there's, I guess because they're a more recent addition, you know, this happened relatively a short time ago versus the Mustangs, which have been cruising around since the 1700s in a relatively wild state. Nobody bothered to keep any records. So not everybody in Australia has Brumbies in their backyard. What drew you to Brumbies? What sparked your heart to go out and travel across the continent for 10 hours at a time to be the saving person for Brumbies?
It all started off for me because I was tired of buying other people's horse problems. I was spending a lot of money for a lot of people's mistakes and their mishandling and mismanagement, and these horses that were spoilt rotten or they had been mistreated. And people are spending a lot of money and ending up with heartache, and that's what it was for me. So I enjoy trail riding. I enjoy getting out there amongst the bush and going out with friends. And I thought, well, what a better horse that I could have. There was one that was born out in the bush and a clean slate. Nobody had handled this horse. Nobody had messed with its mind, and it had been out in the bush learning how to be a horse from a horse. Yeah, our Brumbies are like your Mustangs. They live in proper social herds. They're disciplined by their own kind. They're raised by their own kind. And when you get them, they are just absolutely magical. When you work with a Brumby, it's like painting a canvas. And you can get it very right, or you can also get it very wrong as well. But with the right handling, they are just truly, absolutely wonderful to deal with. They're so easily trained. They can be trained to any discipline. And the best thing about them is that they have a truly unique bond with their owner. It's unlike no other bond that you'll have with a domestic horse. Only a Brumby owner really truly knows that bond with a Brumby, and it's incredibly special. It's absolutely wonderful.
So you love to trail ride your Brumby, and it sounds like you do some pretty serious extreme trail riding versus, you know, hacking across an open pasture. What other things might we see folks doing with their Brumbies?
Oh, everything from mustering cattle and sheep to competing out there in the show ring as well. The Brumby is now a registered breed, so you can actually compete in, and we have our specific Brumby classes at our regional shows, which normally turns a few heads with the crowds at the moment because it's still relatively new. And they're out there competing in dressage and show jumping, and also in our usual horse sports as well, and they're competing up there with the best and winning as well. So it's absolutely fabulous. They're out there in all disciplines doing everything, and especially kids' ponies. The kids have a great time with them as well. So they're very sensible horses, very quiet horses, and very easily trained, and they love to learn. So they love getting out and about. They don't like being bored out in the paddock, so they're happy to be out there with you and doing whatever it is that you want to do.
Now, Catherine, here in the United States, there's a big controversy over the way the BLM handles the roundups and everything of the Mustangs. Do you have that kind of thing that goes on now? And you know, what you said, I'm sure many Americans that are listening found striking in that so many are sent to slaughter. Is it a controversy over there? Is it something that is in the news?
We have several problems here in Australia with our Brumbies. Sadly, we have no government protection whatsoever for them, so they're just classed as a feral pest in every state of Australia. So they are annually culled, now either by way of trapping them, which they do here in New South Wales, which is the most humane method, and then from there they're trucked off to slaughter. In other different states, it is still legal for them to send up helicopters and gun them down from the choppers. So we have those problems as well. They're also used for the export of meat for human consumption as well, because they don't contain any drugs in the system. So we have that as a problem. We also have big problems here in New South Wales and also in Victoria, where people think it's a great sport to go out there and chase the Brumbies. They chase them. They'll chase away foals from their mothers. They will bundle the foals then into cars and floats and take them home for who knows what reasons. It's also a sport out there to chase them with cars in the middle of the night with spotlights to frighten them. We also have a big problem too where they're getting young foals and they're actually pinning them down to the ground, and they'll actually cut off one or both of their ears as trophies and let them go. So there is some horrendous acts of cruelty out there, and that is because when you turn an animal as feral, people lose that connection. They lose that sense of compassion for that animal. They wouldn't walk out into the paddock and cut their ears off their own horse or chase them just for the thrill of seeing them run, but they're more than happy to do it to a Brumby. So we've got a lot of awareness campaigns out there to try and lift the profile back up of the Brumby. You know, there's the talk of generations, campfire stories and bedtime stories for as long as anyone can remember, and they're even featured through movies and poems, as you mentioned, with The Man from Snowy River. So people think of them out there, but not a lot of people are aware of all the problems that they're facing.
How can people around the world, including the United States, help?
You can get on board. We have Brumby groups throughout the country. We do not receive any government funding at all. We're all registered charities, and we're all out there doing what we can for the Brumby. Our charity, the Hunter Valley Brumby Association, you can find online, and you can see all of our photos from our previous rescues and our current ones are coming soon. We need all the help that we can get to be able to provide their care, and people can get on board and check out all the websites for all the different groups and see what's happening throughout the country and the issues that they're facing at the moment.
All right, terrific. And we'll put the link also on our website. But it's hvba.com.au, right? Isn't that the Hunter Valley Brumby Association?
That is going to be terrific. That'd be terrific. We'll be posting lots of news very soon. We just had torrential rain for 2 days, so it hasn't been very good for taking photos. But our Brumbies that are in care are going to be in there for the next few months until they're adopted out to new homes, and we need all the help that we can get to be able to fund for their care.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much for letting us know about this, and thank you so much for staying up till the middle of the night to talk to us, too. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Glenn and Jennifer. Good evening.
Good luck with it, Catherine.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. That's the Brumby from Australia. You know, we have a large listener base in Australia, and we hope that they can get some help down there in taking care of these beautiful horses. They're absolutely beautiful when you take a look at the pictures of them. And we'll post the link to their website again on our Facebook page. It's HBBA, HB as in Victor, B as in boy, a.com.au. If you want to take a look at the pictures there. And I had a story out of Australia, too, and that is not so good for the Australian team this year in the Olympics. Australia's equestrian team had a rough ride this year. The eventing team finished sixth, and it was Australia's best equestrian result at the Olympics, unfortunately. The show jumping team finished 20th. The dressage riders also... They didn't pee off enough, apparently, because they finished ninth in the team event. So it wasn't a good year. Now, Australia has won 11 equestrian Olympic medals over the years, all in eventing, to note, and including six gold ones. But they had a rough time this year in eventing. Sam Griffiths and Clayton Fredericks, if you remember, crashed in cross country, and that left him with a minimum of the three riders for the final show jumping phase, and they didn't fare so well there. So they had a tough year. They have time to regroup and come back for Rio in 4 years. And usually they do pretty well in eventing especially, but it was just not their year.
It was a very interesting Olympics all around. I think it was a lot of fun because so many of the favorites did well but didn't necessarily win everything. We had some really fun and interesting dark horses come to the fore that did well. So, and I think part of that fun was there was so much coverage available for everybody to watch. We were more aware of it because usually the Olympics, you get the preview and the review for an hour and a half every night on the TV set, and that's just not enough. So I think all this extra social media coverage this year made it way more fun.
That's true. Well, let's go to Lisa, who's checking in right now. This is our very own Lisa Kemp, who is our account manager here at the Horse Radio Network, and she is at the American Trade Association in Philadelphia representing us at the wholesale retail show there. And I can just picture her in the hall there on her phone after spending 2 days walking around looking at hundreds of booths. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for checking in with us from there. We kind of miss being there. Usually we're broadcasting live from there at this point.
Oh, I know. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and asked, are they here? Are they broadcasting? And so you guys are really missed.
Well, we'll be back there in January. We just had something that we couldn't get out of this year. So tell us, Lisa, what have you found? What's new and exciting in the horse stuff world?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because there's all kinds of companies here. We've got, big traditional brands, and we've got little tiny, teeny tiny startups that it's their first trade show ever. James Palmer, who's with Beta International, and he comes across the pond to build relationships with North American companies, and I was talking with him. He says this show has been the best yet. The exhibitors have really outdone themselves on displays and merchandise, and I would really agree with that. And what's really funny is that the booth display winners they announced last night are actually not North American companies. The small booth winner was DuBerry of Ireland, and the large booth winner was German Equestrian Manufacturers. So that's pretty funny.
And everybody knows DuBerry because they're used to seeing the guy standing in the bucket of water at all the shows.
Yeah.
Was there girls and guys standing in buckets of water?
I haven't been by their booths yet, but I'm
okay.
Definitely making a point today since they're winning. I want to see what caused them to win.
So what were some products that stood out for you? Are there new products that really caught your attention?
Oh, there's some really great ones. There's... There's some bamboo. I'm really noticing some trends with technical fabrics and bamboo fabrics. I'm noticing, you know, some really interesting just technical products. We've got one that's posture prep that I'm going to interview Dr. Pat later today for a segment. And it's not just a tool, but she's got a whole system for how you can help your horse be more comfortable and develop better better wellness in their muscular system. She's a chiropractor and has developed this, and it just sounds fantastic. What are some other things? Some of our advertisers are here. Uncle Jimmy's here, so I had a nice chit-chat with him. Fleeksworks is here. Omega Alpha is here, and we've got Dr. Chang here. He's going to talk to you guys in a minute. And Equestrian Collections. Yeah, and Equestrian Collections, Chris and Jim, we're here meeting with lots of companies and scouting the newest gear to offer on their website. So that's really exciting. And let's see, Weatherbeta, I talked with Gabriel Sperber, who's their marketing guy, and they're doing a really fantastic thing that's going to be announced next week. So I'm not going to spill the beans here, but I've talked with them about a new philanthropic thing that they're doing. So that's really exciting. And I also talked with Ronald Zabala Gutschel, who's he was so generous. He was had just gotten in from the Olympics, you know, riding for Ecuador, and had flown back with the horse. And it just was, you know, driving and waiting and flying and driving so we got an interview with him, and he's got a new saddle that he's co-designed with Philip Dutton. So it's just some really interesting things.
And Ronald, he's a neat guy, isn't he?
Oh, he is. And just, you know, you could tell he was just practically dead on his feet. He was just barely hanging in there, and he just was so generous in giving us his time to talk with us.
And I know Bit of Britain's always there with None Finer products. They're always there.
Right,
and Back
right.
on Track,
yep.
You know, Back on Track's usually there too.
Right, they're here. Yep.
Here.
Yep.
His sponsor here.
The Illuminated Hoofpick Ladies are here.
Oh, are they? They're still
yep,
there?
Yep, yep, they're here. Yep.
Now, did you get to go to the party, the Saturday night get-together where they hand out awards and stuff?
There weren't that many awards. It was much toned down, it was a good turnout. It was a full room and good food and everything, but they had, you know, some raffle prizes and really talked. They did something interesting with the learning this year, which, you know, in past years they've had some workshops and speakers. And, in fact, last year they brought me in for speaking about social media. But this year they had some roundtables, four different topics that were relevant to the industry. So that was really interesting. And then also later today I'm going to be talking with ADA President John Craven about ADA and about how the organization's going and things like that. But I know I attended the member meeting, and their results in terms of attendance and all of that kind of thing are similar to the August show last year. So that's really good news.
Oh, good.
That's encouraging, yeah. Now, one of the highlights each ADA for me is to check out the mannequin contest. Do they have the mannequin contest this year?
No! I was looking for it. So I'm going to have to ask John, you know, was there a decision made to nix it? Because, last year there was a really fantastic little mini dress that looked like something out of Project Runway, you know, Project Runway Challenge, where they, you know, went to a tack store and got bell boots and split boots and, like, made this really fashionable dress that you could see on a runway show.
Yes,
it was crazy.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I suspect what's going on then, because the mannequin show has been going on for probably 3 or 4 years now. They're probably up to something to come up with a new thing. You know, okay, mannequin show's run its course. Time for a new series, and we're going to try something new. So I can't wait till January to see what they come up with next, because it's always fun and it's always exciting, and I can't wait to get back to it in January.
Right. Yes, you guys are very much missed. Very, lots and lots of people have asked about you, and so, yeah.
Was Dr. Chang there?
I said, no, it's just me. Yes, he's here. He's sitting here waiting patiently.
All right, let's talk to Dr. Chang here. Dr. Chang,
okay.
Of course, of Omega Alpha Equine, which is our title sponsor today, and comes on and does nutrition tips with us. Are
hey,
you
Glenn,
there, Dr.
How
Chang?
Are you?
Okay. Hey, I miss you this time. We just couldn't make it this weekend, but we'll be back there in January. And you know what I really miss is Dr. Chang always takes us out for dinner.
That's right. I missed having you, Jennifer, and I miss Jamie on this trip. But you know what? Lisa is making up for it. You know?
Oh, good.
I might prefer Lisa to you guys.
Hey, wait a minute.
See if we ever have you on the show again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So how are
you
things
know,
in the Omega Alpha world?
You know what? Things are going fantastic. We have some new things happening. That's great. We have a new label look coming out. And look forward to it. It's going to be launched in by the end of September, early October. You'll start seeing it appearing in the stores. It's a fantastic new label look because everybody craps about our label look. They love the product, but they crap about the label look. So it's going to be the same fantastic product, but with a brand new label look that's a lot more friendly, consumer friendly. And also, we have some exciting new products coming down the pipes, which will be launched around the same time. Some tubes of paste for calming, for ulcers, et cetera, launching around the same time. So look out for the new stuff. It's all coming in end of September, early October. And how is life in your world?
You know, you guys must be getting busier and busier at these wholesale shows because we see your products now at more places than we ever have in the past. I don't know if it's just because we're in Florida here and you have a big presence in Florida, but we are seeing the products in more and more places. You know, when we first started with you, it was a hard time. We had to order them direct from you, and now we can find them in the stores.
That is true. Well, we have Jeff Grimes to thank for that. He's the one that... The man's a workhorse. I mean, he is there, he's out there, and he's helping us get it into the stores and so on. And you know what? And we have more and more people asking for it because Patty Hanko has done a really good job with the advertising. And of course, you have you guys spreading the word. And it's all about getting it into the hands of people to try it. As I used to say to my nephew, try it, you will like it. that's my mantra. Try it, you will like it. but it works. It's nice that it works. And again, for want of a better, it's drug free, non testing. So and it helps the horse. That's the bottom line. It works and it helps the horse.
Well, now Lisa just said that the numbers appear to be pretty good. One of the things we worried about over the last couple of years that we've been going to this ADA show with you guys is that, you know, the numbers of retailers have been down. Now, from what I'm seeing industry-wide, that the number of stores has really kind of stayed level, and there's actually some new ones starting to open up again. Do you have that feeling that we're not in the downward slide anymore, that we're kind of leveled off a little?
Well, and it seems that we've leveled off because the attendance here for this show was, I would say, probably the same as it was in August of last year, right? The winter show seemed to have been better, right? But it's not getting any worse. Let's put it that way.
Good. Well, that's good.
Which is a good thing. Yeah. It's always good to see, at least if it's holding its own, it's better to see it climb, right? But, everything takes time. Everything cycles through.
Well, we have to reach that plateau before we can start to climb. So
that's
hopefully
for sure
a good sign for the horse world. Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. Of course, you can find all of Omega Alpha's products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. They have a terrific website. You can hop over there. And, of course, some of their sponsored riders are some of our good friends here on the Horse Radio Network, like Jessica Phoenix and Celine O'Hanlon, and you have many others as well, but that we know very well over here that use your products all the time. So,
for sure. And before I go, just one more plug for Coach's Corner. It's for people who want to know more about the product, and we have tips on how to use the different things and how to use it on your horses, etc. Just go on our website. It's on every month. Go on the website to get the dates. All right.
Perfect.
Thanks for the opportunity, Glenn. And I'll pass you back to Lisa.
All right, thanks, Dr. Chang. Okay. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, Lisa,
hey,
we certainly appreciate you running around like a crazy girl there and doing some interviews for us and meeting everybody and representing the Horse Radio Network at the show this year.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Happy to do it.
I want to give a shout-out to one person in specific, and her name is Lua. She was an institution at these shows. She actually helped run the ADA portion of the show. And Lua became a good friend over the last 20 years and now has now retired. And I don't think she's there. Is she? Have you seen Lua?
No. And a lot of people have asked about her and how she's doing and all of that. So, yeah, she's also been missed.
Yeah, well, and you know, I know she retired, and I know she wanted to keep working. Lua never wanted to retire ever,
right.
But I think for some health reasons she's had to, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to Lua that we miss her, and I do chat with her on Facebook occasionally, and she was the institution of that show for so many years.
Right.
But, well, thank you, Lisa. Go get back to work. Go out there and have some fun and say hi to everybody at the ADEC show for us.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye, Lisa.
Okay, bye.
All right. I actually miss being there. It was so much fun to do the Horses in the Morning show live from ADEC and have all those guests and all the fun products. I just love that.
It was awesome. You kids, all the people walking by staring at you and going, what the heck are those nut jobs doing? And you get to play with all the new products and talk to all the new people and all the people you haven't seen in a year.
We have to understand that we were the loudest booth there. Of course,
yes.
You know, I'm not very quiet, and Jamie's not very quiet, and when Alina's there, she's not very quiet. So we were always laughing and carrying on and having a good time and drawing a crowd. Well, apparently this year, Lisa said they moved us away from the vendors to the very front of the hall as people come in. So I think that was probably done because we caused a disturbance in the force.
yeah, we caused a disturbance in the force, all right.
Yeah, thank you to Hopper Expositions. They bring us in there every 6 months to actually highlight new products and to take a look and talk to everybody. And I think they kind of enjoy having us there. But they did move us to right beside their booth, which is a terrific booth. It's in the very front of the hall. But I can understand why they did that. We did cause a little commotion.
there are rules about being loud, and we have a tendency to break them.
Yeah, we're not very good at following rules here at the Horse Radio Network. We never have been.
That's
all right. So thank you to Lisa. We appreciate her doing that, and we'll maybe hear some of her interviews as we go forward here in the next week or two from the ADA conference. Well, I want to remind everybody, if you're going to buy anything at Amazon, hop over to our website first at horsesinthemorning.com and click on the Amazon button on the left side of the page. Before you go buy anything at Amazon, if you just remember to do that, it doesn't cost you any extra. It just takes you an extra click. So we get a little bit of a credit then if you buy stuff, and it helps support the Horse Radio Network and helps keep getting Jamie and I and Jennifer and everybody paid. So that every little bit helps. And by doing that, every time you buy something at Amazon, tell your friends to do it, have your family do it, your husbands, whatever. It just helps us out. Just go to Horses in the Morning, click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page. We appreciate your support through that affiliate link. Well, now we're going to take a break for our song, and I have one for you that we haven't heard in a while. It's from Tiffany de Rosay. The name is Rise Above. It's one of my favorite songs of hers, and we'll be back after that with Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation on a little bit of the lighter side of the Olympics and some more news stories for you as well.
In this pain of silence, Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
That's right. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek. I am here with Coach Jen today. Jamie is finishing up her trip to Las Vegas, probably a little richer or broker, I'm not sure which, than she was when she started that particular trip. We'll find out on Wednesday. She'll be back on Wednesday. And Really Bad Ads will be back this Friday as well. So get in your Really Bad Ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Start taking a look now for those ads. As far as the Horse Radio Network is concerned, our show highlight today is the Stable Scoop radio show that came out on Friday. It's called What Do I Do Now? And that's a show where every once in a while we take listener training questions and we have a round table. We had Nora Harris of Norris Harris Equestrian on and Coach Jen of our own Coach Jen on there. And we took a look or we answered some listener questions all about training horses. Plus, we took a look at the amazing spray nozzle and some catnip tea for repelling mosquitoes. So we had fun on that show. You can find that all over at horseradionetwork.com. Just look for Stable Scoop episode 208. Well, Jennifer, I have a couple news stories here before we get to Leslie of Horse Nation. One is that there's a silver medal winning Olympic horse that has been seized. It's a 10-year-old Belgian stallion named London, appropriately enough, ridden by Gerko Schroeder. He was seized because of a bankruptcy proceeding that's going on apparently around the owners of the horse. This horse was seized to prevent the horse's sale. Apparently, the horse did very well over the – I think there were two silver medals involved for the Dutch team, I believe. So what's happening now is that there's bankruptcy proceedings, and the horses may be part of the bankruptcy proceedings. They're not sure because they're owned by this company that has another company that's related to it that's going bankrupt. It's a very confusing situation. But apparently they did seize the horses right after the Olympics were over. There were a number of horses involved, and this horse was included. This horse is valued at approximately 10 million euros.
I don't know how much a euro is in American money, but that sounds like a bunch.
$11 or $12 million bucks for a jumping horse. This horse is a show jumper. And actually, the horse was involved silver in both team and individual show jumping. Now there are other offers on. Apparently, there has been an offer made in the 10 million euro range, but there are other offers on the table, including one from Qatar. That has increased interest in the valuable equine. Now, we're talking people here, not a racehorse, a show jumper for 10 million euros. So, but now is in the hands of a bank at this point, waiting to find out if it's going to be released for sale. And that would be a bummer
and it's hard with a horse. I mean, if there's a bankruptcy proceeding, I don't know, but, you know, those things can take forever to sort them all out. And you can't park the horse in a garage.
Apparently, the rider, Gerko Schroeder, has some backing and has somebody that's willing to sponsor him to buy the horse himself because, you know, obviously this horse is being taken out from under him at this point. So that's what they're trying to work out. The courts are figuring that out at this point. If you're looking for a job and you graduated probably with an equestrian major from a college would help. But this particular job is one of the best, I would say, jobs in the university world, and that's the University of Findlay. I never remember.
It's pronounced Findlay. They are a powerhouse in intercollegiate equestrian sports.
Definitely. They're the ones you hear about all the time. They're out of Ohio, and they're looking for the director of equestrian and equine management. And they're basically somebody to run the curriculum and the equine programs there. So this is the director position. The management, they're looking for somebody that has a master's degree is required. and have a broad knowledge of diverse business connections in the equine industry, as well as supervisory experience as preferred. They don't give the pay grade for this, but I imagine it probably pays pretty well and is a pretty good gig. So if you have a master's degree and yeah, if you want to go run a cool program, this would be the one to do at Findlay College. Now, the only problem is you got to live in Ohio. That's the only problem. It's cold there. But you know, that's the only issue there. Now, one of the surprises that came out of the Olympics was equestrian in general, and horsetalk.co.nz, our friends down there at Horsetalk, put out an article today that guess who was the leader, get this, and I never ever thought I would see this, guess who was the social media leader, and I'm going to bring Leslie from Horse Nation on here for this conversation because she was part of that. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Before we get started with your stuff, I have this story. Guess who was the social media leader of all the sports in the Olympics? Now, they took the number of tweets. They took the number of people following various sports. They took all of these things. A company by the name of Exact Target did this study. Guess what was the leader?
I have no idea.
Equestrian. Equestrian beat out swimming, beat out basketball, beat out volleyball, beat out all the track sports. Equestrian took the lead in overall social media chitter-chatter for the Olympics. Can you believe that?
Equestrian has the most hardcore fan base, I think.
Yeah, but we were never caught up on computer stuff. You know, up until about 2 or 3 years ago, equestrians were always behind in technology. That's changed over the last 3 years. Now, look, we lead technology.
Go us.
Swimming was actually number two. And I think that's only because it was force-fed upon us, the entire NBC. And volleyball was number three. Now, volleyball you could sort of picture because – you know, beach volleyball is very popular, and they're all young people that usually that are following that and really into social media. But equestrian leading the way really did surprise me.
Amazing. Good for us.
I know, that's cool.
Yay.
Yes, that's very good for us. And then, you know, new media, you're part of that new media. Now, the one individual athletes that stood out and really demanded attention were the basketball players. LeBron James only has 4.7 million Twitter followers and 10.6 million likes on Facebook. Kobe Bryant had 13 million Facebook likes. So, yeah, they kind of led the way in that. I don't think any of our equestrians quite had that many.
I don't think we're gonna get there, but we can try.
But as a whole, we did good. Good job.
Right.
So Horse Nation, what's going on over at Horse Nation?
Gosh, you know, I think we're in the throes of an Olympic hangover. I'm not speaking just for myself when I say I don't even know what to do with myself. You know, it's been such an exciting 2 weeks.
Now, did you watch the closing ceremonies last night?
I watched snippets of it, yeah, and it looked like a spectacle for sure.
It was better than the opening ceremonies, I would say, which I gave a D. You know, I didn't like the opening ceremonies at all. But the closing ceremonies, I actually watched the whole thing, and the light show they were able to do with those lights that were attached to the seats was pretty incredible. That was neat stuff.
Yeah. I think
London was good.
Did a good job.
Costumes were a little weird, but then you expect that at opening and closing ceremonies for the Olympics. But I thought they did a good job with that. It was fun. And you're right, the Olympics as a whole, I thought, you know, we weren't there. We weren't dealing with all of the stuff that happened there. But I think as a whole, it went off pretty well.
I thought so. I thought so. For sure.
So what stories are we talking about today?
Well, just sort of wrapping up, you know, what we've been doing for Olympic coverage, because I'm not quite ready to let go yet. I'll get there. But you know, we did a few little wrap-up pieces after the equestrian events finished up. One of the more interesting ones, I thought, was I was just curious as to, you know, the U.S. team came home with no medals whatsoever. And so that got me to wondering. For equestrian, yeah. That got me to wondering, when was the last time that happened? So I looked into it, and it turns out it was 1956, which was kind of an interesting year for equestrian sports in the Olympics, because the Olympics were being held in Melbourne, but there were some funny Australian quarantine things going on. So they decided to have the equestrian sports in Stockholm six months earlier than the rest of the Olympics. So that was interesting. which they had their own opening ceremony and closing ceremony. And one thing that I thought was kind of bizarre was they did the opening ceremonies with all of the equestrian competitors on their horses. We actually put a video of it on Horse Nation, and it just looked like, I mean, there's just hundreds of horses, and
it was cool. I watched the video, though. It was pretty cool having all the horses in there.
It was, yeah, definitely. But can you imagine if we tried to do that again?
What, to get all the event horses in there at one time? Is that what you're saying?
I would love to see that. And the torch and the dancers. I think they had also at this Stockholm Olympics, they had, you know, several hundred folk dancers. And it was a big to-do. But,
yeah, back in
that
day, Australia had a six-month quarantine on horses. You had to bring your horse in 6 months ahead of time. And, you know, competitive horses, you can't do that. So I guess that's why they ended up having it over there.
Yeah. So, yep, that's exactly right.
You had some amazing pictures on there from that Olympics. The videos, the pictures in the videos were amazing. They did a good job with that, digging that up.
Yeah. Well, I found they had written the FEI. There was an Olympic review. I guess after every games, they have to write out a pretty detailed review of what happened during the competition. And so I read that, which was pretty entertaining. It was a little bit vague. You know, I couldn't quite get a handle on, for instance, what happened to the eventing team? Like, we know that we started a team, but then there's no mention of whatever became of them. They didn't finish. The team didn't finish, so I assume that there was spillage in there. But
you know, when you read, I agree about the eventing team. Matter of fact, it's not too many, you know, I don't see too many names I recognize there. But when you look at the show jumping team, these are names that you will recognize. Frank Chapeau, Bill Steinkraus was on that team. So you had some big names on the jumping team back then.
Yeah, Bill Steinkraus, age 30. Frank Chapeau, age 24-year-old.
24.
Baby.
Those are big names in the jumping world and legends. Actually, we've had both of them, and Jennifer probably helped me out here. Frank Chapeau and Bill Steinkraus have been on our Equestrian Legends show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, Frank has not.
Frank has
Bill
not.
Steinkraus
okay,
has.
So Bill Steinkraus was. As a matter of fact,
so
I think Bill
us,
was one
Frank,
of the first.
Come on, Frank. Paul, we want you on the show.
Is he still alive? I guess Frank's still alive.
He's going to have to call and let us know.
I guess. The picture you had in there of the horse in the ditch with throwing the rider in the cross country was dramatic.
Yeah. Picture does not specify who that rider was, but there is a picture of all the pictures that they could have included in the Olympic review. I thought it was pretty hilarious that they chose to include this one that has a horse who looks like what he's been tasked with is jumping out of a pond that he's jumped into, but he's stopped in the pond, and the rider just kept going, and the rider is completely upside down, and there's all this water spraying everywhere, and it's pretty hilarious.
The word cartwheel comes to mind.
Yes. Now, you also, Melanie was at it again doing cartoons. This time, I love the one she came up with. That was very good. Tell us about that.
Melanie Eberhardt, who's one of our cartoonists, did this wonderful series during the Olympics called Stephen Fred's Excellent Olympic Adventure. And it's about these two horseflies that hitch a ride on their favorite horse to London. And four cartoons. They go with the horse to the opening, they go check out the opening ceremonies. They go help the horse. There's this wonderful one where they're chasing the horse during its dressage test and tickling it under its sort of in its, what would you call it, horse's armpits to make its extended trot. They're going, kitsy, kitsy, doo, making the horse's extended trot more dramatic, and then biting the horse on the bum to make it jump higher. So, but it's pretty funny, and it's definitely worth checking out if you, like me, are not quite ready to lick of the Olympic experience.
It was cute. She does a good job with those. That was very cute.
And then our other roundup Olympic sort of roundup was, and I've been checking YouTube every day waiting for somebody to, and it finally happened, somebody compiled a video of all of the people falling off cross country. Which you don't realize how many people fell off until you see it all sort of patched together. So we posted that along with a video of a pretty dramatic spill that took place in the show jumping. A Swedish show jumper, Lisen Fredriksson, whose horse kind of swam through a triple bar and unloaded its rider.
Unfortunately, I got to tell you that those two videos have been removed now. The Olympic Committee has forced them to be taken down.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, actually, the
crazy
one says the video contains content from the International Olympic Committee, who has blocked its copyright grounds. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, apparently the Olympic Committee is busy contacting YouTube about all these videos that have to be removed. Now, the third one, where the dressage horse freaks out, was still there, but the other two are gone. And do you realize that YouTube gets, I just heard this statistic the other day, 1 million requests a day to take down videos from copyright holders.
Really?
How do you go through that?
Wonder that's
so
that's
apparently the Olympic Committee got to the top of the pile is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they probably didn't want that video up there. That's probably not a very flattering of equestrian sports, but it was certainly entertaining.
As usual, you had a lot of good articles on Horse Nation this past week, and everybody can check it out over at horsenation.com. And now you're going to have to get creative this week. It's not going to be easy this week.
I know. What are we going to do?
I did notice
there were lots of pictures of
and that the smart pack person had their dressage finger, that full body dressage finger was walking around over there.
Yeah, you gotta love Smart Pack. They just they've taken that whole the foam finger dressage's number one foam finger, and just run with it. They made it looks like they made a full size like a it's gotta be like 5 foot tall foam dressage's number one foam finger.
It definitely caught your attention.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely caught your attention. Well, very good. Thank you, Leslie, for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Of course, it's horsenation.com. If you want to chuckle, head on over there. And you can learn something there, too. But I go there for the fun, Leslie.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. Have a great week.
All right. See you, Leslie. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
That's horsenation.com. Well, a couple of stories for you before we wrap up here today, and that is there was a rescue. Saw this one, but it was out of the Midwest, and this girl was training her horse at the Celtic Cross Equestrian Center in Norman, Oklahoma, where she volunteers and was training for the 2012 Grand National World Championship Morgan Horse Show. And she has a champion Morgan horse. She's 14 years old. Well, what happened is the fires that are happening out there came up pretty quick, and they knew they had to move their horses out of this barn that they were at, the Celtic Cross Equestrian Center. And they loaded the horses up. They had 20 horses and dogs and cats and everything, got them loaded up, and took them out by horse trailer to the Thunderbird Stables, which apparently was a distance away. Well, it wasn't too long that the 20 horses, after arriving at the Thunderbird Stables, among them two pregnant Clydesdale mares, the fire had moved so fast that it had caught up to this particular stables, and they had to move the horses again. Well, this poor girl's horse, Courtney's horse, was not in the mood for getting on the trailer again, and they could not get Rocky onto the trailer. Well, they didn't want to leave him there at the barn because the fires were coming. So she decided that the next place they were going to bring in the horses was about 5 miles away, and that she was just going to grab the horse, and the fire had come up pretty fast then at that point. She just grabbed the horse and bareback, with nothing but a halter and a lead rope, took that horse on a five-mile ride to the next barn. Now, keep in mind that by the time she left this farm, the flames had come up around the farm, and she just took off on this horse and apparently went like crazy until she got to Highway 9, which was backed up in traffic, all the people trying to get out of the situation. And her quote, she said, "I had no saddle, no bridle or bit. Rocky was really nervous, and all I had was a rope and his halter. That was it. And there were cars all around me on Highway 9. It was like the world's gone mad, and I thought, don't look back, just keep going forward." They stopped once for shade and water, but she said the horse didn't want to have anything to do with that, so she just kept going. She said she thought the ride would never end. At Thunder Valley Ranch, there was water, grass, and a short time to run in the pasture. That respite was short-lived as the wind shifted and the fire started heading toward this farm, and they had to move the horses again. But she said this time Rocky decided to cooperate, got on the trailer, and they were able to transport them a good distance away to the Robinson Equestrian Center in Oklahoma City. Now, unfortunately, the training barn, Celtic Cross, where she was doing her training, got the worst of it. And she said the only recognizable items left after the fire were burned bits of stirrup and harness and the melted remains of some china that was in the house. So that farm, unfortunately, was destroyed. But this gutsy girl at the age of 14 rode this horse 5 miles bareback and in a halter to save her horse. So good job. Good for her. That's a rescue story, Jennifer. There you go. Now, there's the next story this was written by a sports writer in Canada. And I won't even mention his name because I don't want to give him any credit because I think he's stupid. But he wrote this article, "It's time for a maximum age in an Olympic equestrian." I'll read some of this to you. "To compete in the gymnastics competition at the Olympic Games, an athlete has to be at least 16 years old. I would think it would be a good idea if they put a maximum age on equestrian events. Japan's rider at the age of 71 competed in an equestrian. He was also the oldest competitor at the 2008 Beijing Games, made his first Olympic appearance 48 years ago. And then he talked about Ian Miller from Canada, about being the oldest member at 65 of the Canadian team, blah, blah, blah. He says, don't get me wrong, it's impressive that they both can still ride competitively at their age. but it says something about a sport when two senior citizens can still compete at Olympic level. Even golf has an over 50 circuit with the Champions Tour. An age limit might also give some younger equestrian riders a chance to experience the Olympics. Aren't the Olympics supposed to bring together the youth of the world? Well, I happen to say, screw him. I think it's cool that we have a sport where 70-year-olds still can compete competitively. And I know, Jennifer, that you probably agree with me on that one.
Yeah, this is just so much hoo-ha, crapple.
Isn't it cool we have a sport where Ian Miller, one of the legends of show jumping, can still go out there and compete? I mean, we have men and women. It's one of the very few sports where men and women compete against each other. But it's also one of the very few sports where it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a good damn rider, you're a good damn rider. And if you're in shape, you're in shape. It doesn't
matter. What he misses out on is there's an over 50s tour in these sports because you get to be 50, you can't compete at the same level.
Right.
But
and the other thing is,
we're not riding the point.
We're not riding horses that are over 50. Yes, no. There are certain age, you know, you get to a certain age, the horse gets to a certain age, he can't compete anymore. And, you know, usually the rider is well aware of that, so we're not riding horses that are 40 in the Olympics. But, you know, as far as the rider is concerned, it makes it a whole little, you know, makes it a whole different thing.
I think I missed the memo that said the Olympics were there to bring together the youth of the world. I missed that memo.
Yeah, I missed that one, too. I don't remember that being in the Olympic charter. That it was only
that
the youth of the world.
Spam file. Yeah.
I mean, we had track and field athletes in their 30s this time. You know,
yeah.
So you saw a lot of older competitors this time than what we've seen before in the past.
Yeah.
And besides, if it's age 16 for the gymnasts, they looked a hell of a lot younger than that, some of those girls. They looked to be about 11 or 10. Some of them. I can't believe it was actually 16. There's somebody lying about their age there because they definitely look younger than that. We're going to end on a positive note because remember the story we had last week about Opie, the horse that was stolen from their owners 10 years ago, and then out of the blue, this lady we had on the show last week found the horse, looked at it, and contacted the people at Net Posse, and they found the old owner, and they got the police involved. Well, the horse has been reunited now with the old owner, and Michelle Poole was the original owner. And actually, there are some really nice pictures in this article about how she actually got together with the current owners who didn't know about this. They had gotten the horse legitimately from somebody who apparently had gotten from the people that stole the horse. But they had no idea, and they were shocked when they found out. But but Opie is now back with the original owner after 10 years of being stolen. It's just an incredible story, and shows how, you know, Net Posse and Stolen Horses International have really provided an outlet for people to find missing horses, and for people like the lovely woman we had on, who thought about going there before she bought this horse herself off of Craigslist and ended up finding it was one of these horses. Now, this was a pretty easy horse to spot, though, Jennifer, because it's a paint horse and the markings were distinctive.
See, and it's funny because you always assume that, but because I do check when I'm looking around and going, that's kind of suspicious, and I check back on Stolen Horse International pretty frequently when I'm looking at horses for sale. It's not as easy as you would think because there's a lot of brown and white horses out there, and there's a lot of brown and white horses whose butt is brown, but his legs are white. But it's exactly which part of the leg is brown. So I don't personally, I don't think it's any easier to spot the colorful paints and pintos than it is the brown ones. I really don't. But then, you know, I'm not a horse husband.
Apparently, right now, currently, there's 2,000 missing or stolen horses on our website. 2,000 currently.
Yeah.
Now, they tend to stay there. If a horse, you know, goes missing or is stolen, she'll keep them on there. And it's a good thing. Look, we're 10 years later, and this horse was still on there.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, and the fact that this lady went through all of them to find it is just amazing, too. So good job to everybody involved in that story, and I think that the current owners – you know, are happy to that this horse is actually being returned to its rightful owner from all those years ago. Well, we'll be back on Wednesday. Jamie will be back, and we'll be, you know, having more cool guests, and we're going to have to start talking about the Breeders' Cup coming up here. It's coming up very quickly. I know, it's that time already, and we'll be doing some Breeders' Cup coverage. And then when that ends, it'll be Christmas. It seems like it is.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
So we'll be back. As I said, don't forget that you can find all the past episodes of the Horses in the Morning show at horsesinthemorning.com. And if you ever go, you know, do you have a guest on that show? Well, how do I get a hold of them? Just go to our show notes. We put links to all our guests in the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can go back and take a look at that episode. Our search feature works terrifically. So if you search for anything and it's in the show notes, it'll pop up. Any guest we've had in the past will pop up. If you just search the show note or search on the website, it's the search there works great. And of course, you can always go to Horse Radio Network's website at horseradionetwork.com and do a search there for any guest that's ever been on a show, any of the shows in the Horse Radio Network. By the way, we're over 2,100 episodes now on the Horse Radio Network. That's a lot of shows that we put out here. And Jennifer does a show called Horse Tip Daily. You can find that over at horsetipdaily.com. And, of course, I do a couple of others as well. So check them all out at horseradionetwork.com. We'll be back again on Wednesday. Say goodbye, Jennifer, and thank you for filling in.
See y'all next week.
Bay Dinner and Gals. Adopt a Brumby. Although it probably needs to get here. But call our Australian friends good. Dr. Brumby.